Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Got a great Wednesday afternoon show today. We had a guest on in the past, Kelsey Sharon from Brass and Unity. Now she's got a new book that is out now. It is available for pre-sale. You know the rules on this show, kids. All pre-sales count towards the New York Times bestseller list. We've told you with all of our favorite authors in the past. Please help her get there. Get a hardback. That's the easiest way to get to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. You were a great guest last time. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for having me in studio. I know this is hard for you to be directly beside me, but I'm really stoked about it.
Well,
she's super annoying.
It's any woman, let's be honest.
It's okay. I don't disagree.
It's not just you.
It's not any woman. It's any human being.
That's true.
Like, if you were a fucking Boston Terrier or something, this would be perfect for me. But I am celebrating today.
Ooh. What are you celebrating?
Tina Turner died.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
so,
shit, dude.
Like, you know, I've had a rough time with her in the past.
You have personally?
Yeah.
Was it Mary?
No, she's not aware of any of this.
Oh, gotcha.
But I've just hated her for a very long time.
I feel like you two have the exact same philosophy, though.
So do I.
Which parts of it?
What's love but a secondhand emotion?
Sure, yeah, that part, but I wouldn't let a dude beat my ass for like years.
Okay, right? Fair.
You might.
I don't really respect that.
You don't mind? You weren't dating Ike. You don't know what he was
I
like.
I would have.
He was probably a gentle lover.
I want to reverse tame the shrew somebody. I want to fucking turn out a super abusive straight dude.
Yeah.
And turn him out and just gay abuse him.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Just to bring some karmic justice to the universe.
You know I think it'd be great.
Somebody's got to do the Lord's work.
They do.
And it's me.
They do.
Obviously.
R.I.P. Tina. We didn't know that until about 6 minutes ago.
Well, so in Canada, where she's from, which is not a real country anymore.
Sure isn't. I don't even know how they let you out of
there. In Canada, if your feelings are hurt, they're just like, hey, you know what's a good solution for that is just suicide.
Yeah.
And we'll pay for it.
Maid. Yeah, you guys talking about Maid. Yeah, because we talked about that. I sent that to you a while back, huh?
I didn't think this was real.
Oh, it's real.
Well, no. It's not only real, it's been happening since 2019.
Fuck you, dude.
I know, it's bad.
So explain the process to the audience here, because last time you were on the show, it's weird. We named this episode as Canada the most woke country in the world. Joe Rogan was talking about it, and he was going through all the rules, regulations, everything else. Last time you were here, you guys were shut down and the truckers had stopped. And they were pulling money out of their bank accounts and shit because they were protesting.
Were freezing bank accounts for anybody that gave more than $20 to the GoFundMe.
Right.
Yeah.
And now these suicides.
Yeah, and that's just the start of it. Bill C-11's full in place. That's our lovely Iron Curtain now over our internet, our censorship waves. I was bitching about that to you last time. I said, you know, people are being pretty well banned, just like anybody else can be anywhere. But now it is, they're straight taking stuff down. They're talking about banning Fox News. Like, they have the access to do it. And then Maid happened. And the only reason Maid came out and people started to find out, it's medical assisted in dying. And so Canada started offering it to its Canadian veterans in lieu of treatment. And then the head of Veterans Affairs came out on the news, on the West Block, I believe it was, and had the audacity to say that it was one individual. When I had five separate people send me voice recordings of it being offered to them through Veterans Affairs.
What the fuck?
And it wasn't like they were asking for anything, like to the point where they were hinting and humming and hawing at it. They were legitimately just saying, hey, the one lady was like, I was an Olympic athlete with you. I need a new wheelchair ramp in my house. I've been asking for 18 years. How about we just do it? And they were like, you know what's cheaper and better? We can just help you die.
Yeah.
Man.
It's like, you know, you've got that friend where you can't necessarily complain to them about something because their solution to it is going to get everybody in trouble.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's Canada.
It's the entire country.
It's in the middle of a free fall. And you know what the best part was after I was on your guys' show? I got hit by so many Canadians who were like, just fucking leave then. And I was like, that's not the point. I think what you should have been responding with was, holy shit, this is happening to our country. How are we so blindly deaf and dumb that we are accepting a lot of the things like, do you guys know about Soji in Canada? Oh, you're gonna love this.
No.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I don't know what soji is.
It's gonna be better than you think it is.
I'm already tired.
I need you to get over it.
Yeah, you need to get the fuck over it.
There's so many acronyms and shit.
I love all of this shit, dude. If they're off in their own people, let's go. What's soji?
Soji, sexual orientation and gender identification treating at the kindergarten level to grade 12.
What?
My child was in kindergarten last year and came home with a book that says Jacob's New Dress.
Okay.
So we are now allowing our school systems to quite literally brainwash our children into being whatever they want to be starting in age kindergarten. And British Columbia, Alberta, and Ontario schools are running it. And they can choose to not do it or do it, but they're doing it.
My God, man. What's with the concerted effort from all of these companies, it seems like, to make every kid trans or... inclusive or whatever the fuck it is. I saw the Target thing yesterday. Now, I had heard about the Target story. I thought it was a joke. I'm having a hard time deciphering what's real and what's not real on social media anymore. And you're wondering, too, if it's other companies who are kind of putting out, you know, fake sketches to bring down other companies, everything else. So you take the Target thing. I thought it was fake. I thought maybe somebody had posted it and it had just kind of caught fire. If you haven't heard, in America, they have these bathing suits with... where you can talk for kids.
Yeah, we have all that stuff. Binders for young girls. What people don't realize is this is long-term damage you're doing. This isn't stuff you walk back and reverse very easily. And when they say, it's just chemicals and imbalances, that's not true at all. If you've ever had a TBI and had to treat, or men with low testosterone, if you've ever had to treat testosterone, you understand how significant hormones play in the body. They are not something small to be toyed with. So when people like Target, and you've got, you know, Bud Light, and then you've got, what else? You got Maybelline. You've got, my God, Nike.
North Face had an ad today.
Oh, for God's sake. So, Adidas recently. And then, my favorite is Levi Jeans. So everyone.
Not Levi's.
Levi's.
Fuck.
Yep.
Fuck!
Start burning shit. I don't know what to
Jesse,
tell you.
Jesse, order me some new jeans. I gotta burn my Levi's now.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a bitch.
I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
What happened to Levi's?
Apparently they started using men in women's clothing to advertise women's clothing. Because I look the same as Dan.
Well, I was fine with cowboys fucking, you know, like Brokeback, right?
Let it happen.
Great. There was Levi's all over that place, and I was amped about it. Because they were over 18. They were consenting adults. You want to butt fuck out in the woods? Great.
You should
be able to. Yeah, that didn't stop me from buying Levi's.
Right.
You got two consenting adults and great.
I think you're missing the larger point, though.
Correct. Right?
No, I'm making a joke of it, obviously.
Men are better at everything.
Here we go.
Including it being women.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know that.
Oh, I know that.
Okay.
But do you?
Is what this is all about. Right? This is the iron law of woke projection. It's what it's always been about. Look at the way that leftists have treated racial minorities and class minorities over the years, from communism to even the fucking Dixiecrat South. It's always been this steady stream of we're the party of the working class, we're the party of the minorities, but they constantly butt-fuck these people, right? And then they steal their culture away from them. And it's like you ask a black person if they're offended by something, and they say no. And then a white middle-aged woman gets offended on their behalf. Yesterday on The View, for example, right?
Oh,
was it Joy Behar telling Tim Scott and other black dudes that they don't know what it means to be black in America?
Yeah.
He's literally a black man in America. Now, he's a weirdo, says he's a virgin. He's like 50 years old. That's creepy.
AC Green was,
isn't that
though,
every
too.
Priest?
Wow. He's not a priest.
He's a senator, right? And every priest is not a virgin. They're all pedophiles, right? So.
But seriously, here's what's happening is these companies, in all honesty, you get a subset of individuals because like Dan and I both have had the amazing Dr. Deborah So on the show. Mm-hmm. We really looked at the percentages of what the trans population really is representative of. And it's such a small, tiny amount of the world population. So then you sit there and wonder, like, how are these multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar corporations looking at this and going, yep, we're going to do that. That's going to be our niche. I think what's happening, in all honesty, is it's at a point where people are more fearful of the repercussions of not going along with the woke ideology than they are of just doing it and hoping for the best. I think it's a fear play. I honest to God do.
Well, going back to the Target thing last night and me, you know, thinking this was a joke. There was a guy we had on the show, Primetime Stein, 99, who posted a sketch inside of a Target. Well, not a sketch, it was just a live video where he went into a Target. Yeah. You can pull it up, by the way, on Bob on his Twitter feed and show. It went viral last night everywhere. He went inside the Target and tried on the girls' bathing suits with the tuck option so he could put his penis inside the thing, and it went viral. Now, they also couldn't stop him because then you're going against everything that you're promoting there.
Right.
And, well, and so he was asking, there it is. Oh my God, dude.
I've never seen this.
What the
this is the only way I knew this was real.
This is what the arts and
you can play the volume. We're on Patreon.
The arts, like comedy and literature and stuff, this is what they do to power. You hold a mirror up to power and show how ridiculous it is, right? That's the
point. Yeah, I saw it on TikTok.
Like, if you read Shakespeare, it was primarily
Target. Check the answer. Tuck Friendly Pride Collection. That's right, guys. Extra crotch coverage, Tuck Friendly Construction. Thank you, Target.
Here's what's crazy about this.
Tuck. Oh.
Did they tell you how to tuck your dick in?
Instruction. Okay. Well, let's see.
There should be a diagram.
Is that what the tuck instructions are?
Wow, it's so tuck friendly.
And he looks beautiful in that. Not enough tuck on it though. You can still see his penis.
And just heads up on this. If you're in this in the fashion space at all, you understand that this had to be designed, cut, and started to be made like 6 months ago.
Oh, easily. This is not something you make overnight.
But that's my point, is they were going along with this a long time.
Right. Extra coverage. He goes, that's awesome. Nobody's stopping him in the store. You can take it down now, Bob. Because with this last night, so that was the only way that I believed this story was I saw it there. And I was like, oh, shit. That was a real one. Because, again, I'm having a hard time with what's real and what's not real. And then last night, Target, their CEO, has called an emergency meeting for this whole scandal now that's going on. But why was it started? I mean, you had a perfect case study with Bud Light. Show you how to ruin a fucking company. How is this even a possibility after that campaign? It blows my mind. So what was the emergency meeting of like, who did this? Because to your point, this has to be cut and printed. A bathing suit isn't an overnight thing. We run a merch shop here.
That's
if we were trying to put a bathing suit inside the merch store, that would take at least probably 3 months at a minimum.
Yeah.
Maybe longer for women's bathing suits.
And we're talking about a couple of thousand units, not millions of units.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, pardon me, kids, because these are kids' bathing suits. But yeah.
That makes it so much worse when you say that.
It's fucked. It's absolutely fucked. But if it weren't for people walking around doing this type of shit, and let's face it, Twitter used to ban him. Like, he wasn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, he's a comedian. Like, you've probably seen him in.
The tucked swimsuits are only adult sized.
Oh, they're only adult size. Okay, great.
You've probably seen him in on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter in city council meetings acting like a fucking
retard.
Oh,
that's who that is?
Yeah, he's on the Blaze now.
Oh,
yeah, he's over
there. Okay. Yeah.
But that's the purpose. Like, that used to be the purpose of the arts, right? Like, most of Shakespeare's work was about the British crown and how fucked they were, right? Like, all these incestual stories and all this other stuff. And that's why a lot of people think that they believe that anonymous story theory, or rather that it was like 16 different writers all contributing, because if one guy was talking that much shit, somebody would have cut his fucking head off probably. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's what this used to be was people like us, people like Alex, whomever, right? You don't have to do too much commentary. You just hold the mirror up and say, look what's happening. It's fucking weird, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when all these parents go to fucking school board meetings and start reading from books that are available to their like 4 to 8 year old children.
It's disgusting.
They start reading from the book and they get kicked out of the meeting because it's too profane.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's pretty weird, right? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, how old are your kids?
So I have one and he's going to be 7. It's going to be 7 now.
And does your husband go with you to these meetings and not lose his fucking mind?
So like, here's, that's me. My husband's the chill one. He doesn't agree with a damn thing, but we don't have meetings like this. There's PAC meetings I don't go to, and I'll tell you why I don't go to the PAC meeting. I'd be taken out of the PAC meeting. I just have very aggressive private conversations with my son's principal on a regular ongoing basis, because things like that and the fact that a kindergartner tried to cut another kindergartner's kid's throat with a key last year kind of prompted some real intense conversations with the school and myself. So this has been an ongoing conversation. When the book came home, the book never went back. And then we had a private conversation with the librarian, and they showed us. They have a whole section where they have trans ideology promoting and pushing literature for children to read.
So
I'll do you one better.
With Canada, I mean, you got suicides.
Suicides.
Somebody almost got his throat slit with a key.
Yeah, my kid, my son.
Have we been too hard on Drake all these years? Maybe it is fucking dangerous.
No, Drake is from Brampton.
There it is. Thank you. He said it. I didn't.
What's Brampton? Where's that at?
Brampton,
it's a fucking
Ontario.
Suburb okay, of Toronto, gotcha. And it's not where rough people come from.
It's right. Not. It's not at all.
There are some good metal bands from there, mm-hmm. surprisingly. And Drake. And Joe. So, I mean, it produces good artists, I guess.
Yeah, it's got its own people. But the other thing is there was a couple schools off of in British Columbia in kindergarten. They were getting sent home with a paper on how to masturbate and hide it from their parents. Kindergarten.
Yeah, that's something you're supposed to figure out by yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
You take chances, right? Seriously, it's one of the things that happens during the prepubescent through pubescent time period where you learn to manage risk. I think that's a very important part of life, is learning to manage risk by taking little, small chances one after another. I'm not joking about this. Like, I'm serious. And also the organic way that children move into pubescence and discover sexuality. There's a reason we've just let that happen mm-hmm. for the entirety of human history. It's because it's weird, right? It's weird, but it's natural. So you just let it happen. You give them a little bit of information on how to stay safe, I guess. But for the most part, you're just like, fucking kids are gross, man. I'm not getting involved in that shit.
Because the
reverse of it is, if you're teaching these kids in kindergarten, then they would feel pressured because they aren't doing something or don't understand something.
Correct. Yeah, you're in like second grade. Well, what, you ain't jerking off? What, yeah. You some kind of queer or something?
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
It's like a fucking bad after school special. You know?
Yeah. We should do that.
Yeah.
It's like a kid that's he's in third grade and he's already got a 5 o'clock shadow because he's getting roasted so much for not pounding off.
I mean, look, I think Garth Brooks and Standing Outside the Fire did an excellent job.
American, yeah, well, that was about a retard, though.
Yeah, but he was still, they didn't want him on the track team because it was too dangerous. And everything else. So,
American Dad did an episode where Steve's ass hadn't come in yet and he was getting roasted by everybody at school.
Uh-huh.
So he put like two hams down the back of his pants.
I like it.
I always go to cartoons to explain my social points, right?
Well, and I think you have to.
It's either South Park or Seth MacFarlane.
Sure. What was the verdict when you went into the librarian and the school and all that shit?
Just aggressive conversation, and now my
but
son
did
is
anything
not,
get done?
The only thing that got changed was my son. So because I was present and I was an aware parent and I was paying attention, my son is not allowed. He's not. So when they go to library, like if he goes over there, they like, you're not allowed over here. But no other parent. Everyone else is fine. Seems like every parent is just cool with this because no one wants to say anything, because if they say anything, then they're hated, they're mocked, if they have businesses, they're affected, they're afraid of this woke mob. And the mob is not, it's not that it's not real and it's not intense, but I'm so sorry, you're the grown-ass adult. Your job is to stand up to things like this. Why do you have kids then?
I agree, and I'll go back to something you said earlier in the show about some people bitching that's, you know, why not just move out of Canada? Well, I asked you on the show, I don't know if you remember, you said, one, I love it here, I'm from here, and I want to be here. Two, if I'm not speaking out about what's going on in my country, who is? And when you said that, I was like, yeah, I don't hear anybody on the fucking news. I don't hear any Canadians talking about what's going on there. And truthfully, if I didn't see that little clip from Rogan earlier about it, I had no fucking idea about the suicides and all that other shit going on. It sounds hilarious.
Well, and so Jordan Peterson speaks out, Michaela speaks out about other things, but there are people in Canada that are speaking out. You're just hearing them talk about different parts of Canada in different ways. So like Jordan talks a lot about accountability and men and all of that, and he talks about it, and he's from Toronto, and he says all the time, you know, I talk to a lot of men in the area, and he's talking about Canadians, like, these people are feeling this way for a reason, and he's seeing it and I'm seeing it. And the way that I'm seeing it, though, is through a militarized side, where I'm having a lot of the community reach out to me and say, like, hey, do you know about this, or have you heard about this? And what's happening is, because of things like Bill C-11 that went through, our information and what the government states, and you probably know it better than I do, they basically are saying, this is going to protect Canadian content creators. This is going to protect basically Canada as, what's the word I'm looking for here? They wanted to make sure that Canadians were, their content was being respected and seen, but it's doing the opposite. So since Bill C-11 came in,
essentially like a freedom of speech type of thing.
Exactly.
For Canadians.
Yeah, and so this affects the internet. Anything on the internet, anything on the news. So like whether, because we only have one side of the news. We don't have like a Fox and a CNN. We have a liberal news. So CTV, Global, CBC, all of those are all paid directly from our government. And so when things like the Afghan pullout happened, they got a media blackout on it. They were not allowed to discuss it, even though we still had Canadians there. So a lot of these things are happening. I've been going on a lot of podcasts in the United States doing my best to like scream it. And the people are like, she's being dramatic. Well, I'm not, because if you are saying something that is opposing to the current disaster of an administration that we have, mm-hmm. and an abomination of a Veterans Affairs, just like yours is, I'm sorry, but they do target people and they do make sure things are shut down. And the first week Bill C-11 came out, anybody who was, that was on Turning Points, that's been on my show, mm-hmm. demonetized. Just like, boop, out of the blue. I think I have like 2,600 subscribers. Like, why do you care?
Yeah.
It's my audio you should care about. It's not this you should care about. But my point is everyone's having it happen, and people are like, it's not that bad. Then you're not doing anything for them to take notice of you.
Yeah.
That's not on me.
And that's what we try to tell people all the time, because people have been trying to figure out our YouTube and all this other shit. I mean, do we even have one video that's monetized, like full green on our thing? Probably not. I will say this. It has opened up for two reasons, though, because if you hit them in the wallet, that hurts. Mm-hmm. Google is losing money off of YouTube. YouTube is the only thing they're losing money off of, and they can't figure out why. Well, yeah. They're demonetizing everything, and they're not putting priority ads during podcasts and long-form shows and things like that. That's one. Two, Twitter now has just opened up for two-hour podcasts.
No
yes.
way.
So we just entered the program last night. And we will be having some of our episodes that aren't on Patreon up there. We're going to test it out with the Alex Jones show that got banned on this one for YouTube. So let's put Twitter to the test as far as the freedom of speech thing goes. And we'll see how that one does. But we signed up for it last night. I was able to upload a movie to my channel last night because it had gone blue a couple days before. And it seems like they're giving priority to it in long form video.
Good.
And as of last night, I'm not sure if you heard, all of Daily Wire's content will also be available on Twitter.
I didn't.
Their video. Now, whether that's going to be behind their own subscription model mm-hmm. within Twitter or paywall, I'm not really sure. I don't think they want to give up that money they're making on the Daily Wire app. And I think, Dan, you called it that it'll probably be subscription on Twitter.
But even, I would assume so, yeah.
Even so, that's not a bad step of like, all right, great. At least it exists there and you have different alternatives to mm-hmm. find this type of content. Because if not, let's say you were just stuck with YouTube, which we were for a very long time. It is slow. It is arduous. It fucking sucks. And they demonetize everything.
Yes. And I'm seeing that. So we started our Patreon about a month ago, and we've just started hammering it and populating mm-hmm. it like crazy. Because at what point, I mean, you put a lot of effort into these things.
We did too as well, by the way. So yeah.
It makes a difference. It does. And I'm excited to see where it goes. It's just the country now is in a weird position when you have people like CSIS coming out and being like, do you guys know how many CCP police stations you guys have? Do you know how many people have been influencing your elections? And for some reason, nobody seems to care. Here's what blows my mind in people. You're dramatic. I'm sure as shit I am. Because our country is it's like your CIA coming to you and being like, listen to me. All of the presidents since 2013 have been heavily paid by the Chinese. How do you think America would react?
I don't think America would do shit.
You don't think so?
No, because we found out over the past couple of years that fucking Hillary Clinton took money from the DNC and paid this guy Steele, Which he's not a porn star, I'm told.
Great name, though.
It is a great name.
Like,
if
it's
you're
hard
making
to go
up
wrong
a fake
with that
name,
yeah.
It's a great one.
That's the best one.
But he's a foreign intelligence asset. So he was an MI6 guy, okay, right, for the British military or for the British government. And they paid him using campaign funds to fabricate the Steele dossier, which is connecting Trump to Russia, right? That's essentially what it was.
Okay.
Now, we know that happened. We also know now, as of a couple of weeks ago, that Obama, while he was president, was briefed on this, that it was fake, that Biden was also briefed on it, knew that it was fake, that the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA, all these people knew that it was fake, and they presented it as truth anyways, right? Mm-hmm. And they did it.
How?
They did it during the Trump campaign. They did it after he was elected in the lame duck session, and they did it again for the entirety of his presidency. So, yeah, Americans aren't going to do shit because we've already had the opportunity to do it and nobody did a goddamn thing.
Yeah, so ours was called the Durham Report. We did a huge show on it maybe a week and a half ago on here, and to exactly what Dan said, like, yeah, you had a special investigation. You had a special prosecutor. He specifically named all the people this went through who was complicit in this and everything else, and we've done nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. So it's the same thing that's going on in Canada. Why? I don't really get it. And why one side wants it versus the other. I don't really get that either. And
I don't
it
know
makes
that,
no sense.
I don't know that anybody wants it. I think that people are at the point where they are so exhausted with it. They're fearful of it. And the other thing that they've done, you know, they've raised taxes to the point where it's so crazy in Canada on everything, where people are so, you know, it's like that, you know, when you hear Yanmi talk about, and this is like very dramatic in saying that, but my point is, when you make people only try and focus or have to focus on living, mm-hmm, they cannot or do not have the capacity to think about anything else outside of going to work, making sure that we have enough food on the table, and making sure the mortgage is paid. If that's all somebody has in their life, how could they care about anything else that's going on? They don't.
This is exactly what I've said on this show for 2 years, right? Most people are busy. They got kids, they got correct lives, they got everything else. You're so worried throughout the day. Like me and my wife, for example, we have 3 children.
So many kids.
The third one was an accident. Okay. Third one was an accident. The first 2 were for real, but we love her. We love her. The third one was an accident.
For real.
First 2 were real. The last one was, but we love her. She's great.
She's awesome.
But with that many children and everything we're doing in life and everything else, you're so fucking busy throughout the day. You're just kind of getting through it, mm-hmm, at the end of the day.
And that's what people who are trying to control you depend on.
Yes.
Correct.
They depend on our being myopic and saying, well, I can't do anything about it right now. And what we're saying when we say that is that my kids are going to have to fight this fight.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the issue, is everybody's busy, and especially with inflation and prices, yeah, being this high,
yeah,
where you've really got to fucking work. I know they're touting these amazing employment numbers here in America, at least, but when your government check doesn't cover all your shit anymore, mm-hmm, because inflation's so high, then these people are like, fuck, I got to go get a job. There was one stat that I read that were people who felt like they were forced into working because of inflation. They were like, oh, they had to get jobs. And this was like 7.8% or so. It was some dumb stat. And I was okay, like, but you weren't working before.
Yeah,
and now you have
jobs
to now. But even then, where it's just like, well, shit. If those people have to work, if you right keep everybody busy
right
trying to keep up with just putting food on the table, a house over your head, like a roof over your head and all that other stuff, then nobody's got time to fight the government. Then
exactly
nobody's got time to go out and do shit. Nobody's got time to go in and talk to the librarian, mm-hmm, about the books or anything
right
else. I think social media, podcasts, Twitter in particular right now, with all these stories and the Twitter files and everything else being exposed, it's opening up a lot more eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I still think we're a long time away from fighting back and doing something about it. And probably so is Canada.
Oh,
because
I totally agree.
That news doesn't come down here that often.
That's terrifying, because then everybody asks me, oh, you live in Canada. How is that? How's everything going up there? No one knows. So does everyone
else? No, we really don't know.
No, I know, because I do text him. And I normally, when something goes haywire, he'll say something about it. And I haven't heard from him in a while. So if he's not even hearing about it, it's gotten to the point where they're very good at not talking about what they don't want people to hear. And that's just it across the board. And if you're not seeking it out and you're not looking past, like I said, global CTV and CBC and these shows where people reverberate talking points and you can line them up together and hear the same damn thing, if you don't seek it out and you don't have time to seek it out, or no one in your circle or around you is speaking about it, you're going to have no damn clue.
Well, it's not that I don't hear about it. I'm at the stage now where I think we're mid-avalanche, and I'm waiting for the avalanche to stop to see what we can salvage.
I don't disagree. And again, I still love my country. I still think it's amazing. I think the people that are running it are quite literally, I'm watching it fall from inside. And I can honestly say I never thought this would happen. Like, I just, his dad fucked it up. And then we came back from it a little bit. And then we had Harper for a little while. And I liked him only because he supplied what we needed overseas. I just remember him being like, we're giving them guns. And we were like, woo. But then everything.
These are all Canadians you speak of?
Yeah, these were all prime ministers.
Foreign to us.
Exactly. So, like, well, no,
Justin Trudeau's dad was prime minister.
Yeah, his dad was prime
minister. But Trudeau is truthfully in the last, 20, 25 years? I'll say 20, 25 years, somewhere in that range. He's the only one that has gotten news coverage on a consistent basis, and most of it has been the blackface thing.
But do you love that?
The Castro thing, yeah. That the him and the Castro conspiracy thing. But that's kind of it. And then the truckers.
He's done brownface. He loves that one too. So he does brownface. He does blackface. The truckers thing, taking money and closing bank accounts.
Let's take the truckers thing, because you were on here last time about it.
Yeah.
What to Dan the other day. What was the final outcome after that? Did people go back to their jobs like nothing happened?
It got to a point where they were going to turn the military. Like, we had the wartime act the emergency wartime act was invoked on to our citizens. People got trampled by horses. They gassed people. They literally beat the hell out of people. They tried to use the military. They said they didn't use the military, but they were in the air. So when somebody says they didn't use the military, they were in the air. They just weren't on the ground.
Gotcha.
And they went after their own citizens. And that has never happened. Last time we had the wartime enacted was World War II. This has never happened. And when he walked away and allowed its citizens, and when I say this protest was kids and moms, it was kids and moms. We had the protest right beside my house on the border in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And I went out to it, and there was a bouncy castle and ball hockey happening. Horses were coming down. People were barbecuing. This was legitimately hey, we're going to leave a route for safety. We're going to make sure that cops and everyone can come and go if someone gets hurt. It was no issue. But when they said enough is enough, and that's when they started cracking down, it got nasty, and it got nasty fast. People got arrested left, right, and center. People did go back to work. The trucks were there for a really, really long time. And my favorite part about it is civilians in Ottawa started coming out and saying they had PTSD from horns.
Oh, gotcha, because there were so many.
So many and so aggressive. But this is the first time you saw everyday people stand up for themselves. And the saddest part is people got arrested.
And it didn't make a dent, right?
Nothing changed.
And then after it was over, did people just go back to their houses and their lives and their jobs?
If they could, if they didn't lose their bank accounts, their mortgage, their credit cards, their homes, their jobs for being there. And if you were associated with somebody who was there, you lost your job, depending on your employer. So it was intense for a
while. Sounds like you guys need a civil war, to be honest.
Yeah, but
we have no guns.
We
do have guns, but the right people have the guns.
You got keys, it sounds like.
We got keys and knives. Have you not heard of all the stabbings that have been happening?
I have, yeah. And it's very similar to London, what's happens there.
Yeah. You take the guns, they're going to use something.
Something, yeah. They're going to use something.
We just lost 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate on a rail line here. I'm sure you can figure something out.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, you can blow some shit up, for sure.
Yeah, you can do anything.
For sure. But if you look at it, you had the thing that went on in Canada, Australia, where they locked all their citizens in. And then if you fought back or went in the streets.
Yep.
You either got arrested or they drove you back into your house or you weren't allowed to leave.
Or the COVID camp. They would lock you in the COVID camp.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Kelsey, you've been on the show before. You know we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Half off the bundle package. 50% off. It's the adjustable base and the mattress combined together for an amazing lifetime of sleep. They should give you guys those things to kill each other with for suicide up in Canada. It'd be great to die. if you're going to get suicided, it should be on a ghost bed. You might as well die in comfort, for Christ's sake. Plus, you can pop it up in a TV mode or book mode. If you want to die upright, that sounds a lot better than just dying lying down, I guess. So that's what the adjustable base can provide for you, brother. It's got USB ports, flashlights. The Split King is the most popular option. It comes with two remote controls instead of one. And both of them go upsy, downsy, all aroundsies, and vibrates. I love it. My lady and I have it, so we're never going back. Once you have the adjustable base, you really won't go back. Now, if you already have one and you just want a new mattress, you can get a new one for 40% off with the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout. You can get anything. That new 3D Matrix mattress, you can get the new Venus Williams mattress. They got a ton of shit over there at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. The sheets are amazing, by the way. Give those sheets a shot. I've got them in every room of my house. I love them. They're some of my faves. They've got this elastic band that goes around them like a pair of boxers. It's great. Holds the sheets on. Big, big fan of those. They got the weighted blankets. They got the covers. They got all the things. Plus, right now, you're getting two free luxury pillows with a mattress at checkout. And I promise you, those pillows are just as good as the goddamn mattress. Now, when you check out, you're going to see a 3-year pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit. Check that box. And all the deals that I mentioned are applicable with that. And you can walk out of there with a brand new bedroom set for about $20-$25 a month. Head on over to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, we got firstform.com/drinkingbros. You're going to get free shipping with $75 worth of orders there. And I can promise you, you'll ring it up. When you go to firstform.com/drinkingbros, the first thing you need to get yourself is these microfactors. Big fan of these. This is all the shit that you used to buy from GNC, which is dog shit. And now you can get them from First Form. And it comes in a box in a little tiny package. It's got all the vitamins mixed together. Boom, you pop it in your mouth and you're good to go for the day. That way you're not, you know, shaking jars around. I got one of this one. I got two of this one left. No, they're all in one. You don't have to worry about it. You pop it in your gullet and you're good to go. They've got the antioxidants, the EFAs, the fruits and veggies in there, the probiotics, the multivitamins. They got it all in one tiny little packet. And the box is cool because it just spits it out for you so you don't forget. Just put it next to your coffee maker in the morning. It's super, super easy there. Also, while you're on firstform.com/drinkingbros, check out their apparel, great energy drinks. Huge fan of their energy drinks. They're littered all throughout the office as we speak. And those protein sticks will change your life. The breakfast sausage. I'm going to say it over and over and over again until you finally order it. That is the best protein stick I've had. I start the day with those guys, that and a coffee, and usually 16 ounces of water. I think Giorgio's at 32. He's a fucking do-gooder. I'll start with a protein stick, some coffee, and 16 ounces of water. Good to go. Take some of the microfactors, and I'm up and at them in the morning. And just in case I forget, I keep one on my desk at work because I'm a dummy like that. So you at home, don't be a dummy. Go to firstform.com/drinkingbros today. Free shipping on every order over $75. And they've also got workout plans available over there too as well if you're trying to get a customized workout plan. Derek Wida will do it. Best in the biz. firstform.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we got manscaped.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS will get you 20% off there at manscaped.com. Best in the biz as far as the below-the-waist grooming products. Nay, I'm going to say your whole body now. Dang it. They got the ear and nose hair trimmers as well. They just came out with some toenail kits. They got everything over there. Summer's coming. Are you ready to unveil your beach bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your body's ready for the wild with their game-changing full body grooming and hygiene products. Don't be the guy at the beach with the Austin Powers chest hair. And if you grew some winter man tits, the least you can do is make sure they're hairless. It's time to get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code DRINKINBROS at checkouts. I love reading these guys' copy. It's always the best. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you increase your confidence to level up your full body grooming game with the Performance Package 4.0. Now, what's in that kit? You're going to get the Essential Lawnmower 4.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. It's great. They've also put in the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant in there and the Crop Reviver Ball Toner in there. That's anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer because we know how painful it is when you're wearing a bathing suit all day in the summer months. And no one likes nose hair, so the package also comes with a Weed Whacker 2.0. You also get two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, which is a $40 value. Love that. Travel with it. And the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxers. Boxers are great as well. And if you're wearing sandals, like I said earlier, get the Shears 2.0, the nail kits. The nail kit will get you where you need to be. Having the right tools for grooming is essential. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DRINKINBROS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DRINKINBROS at manscaped.com. Trim your chesticles with the besticles at manscaped.com. Sponsor-wise, does it get any better than HelloFresh? Hello! HelloFresh! I see you! I've been eating them with my wife for, man, I want to say 3 to 4 years now. We have it Monday through Thursday, maybe Friday, depending upon what the kids want to do. But it is the freshest ingredients you can get delivered right to your doorstep. And it's even cold. It's even chilled for you. So you can pop it right out of the box and into the fridge. Look, kids, if you're like me and you're going to the grocery store a few times a week and you're noticing that bill creeping up into triple digits, it's because you're trying to buy fresh food for your family. It's not sweet. However, HelloFresh makes it a lot easier by doing it for you. These are fresh meals with unbelievably fresh ingredients that get shipped right to your house with a little tiny card that tells you how to cook it. Some meals you can even do in like 15 minutes. Some of the steaks a little longer. But I'm not kidding, kids. I've had it Monday through Thursday or Friday for pretty much the last 3 or 4 years of my life. I'm a gigantic fan of them, but I never got a savings like this. This is HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros16, or you use the code DrinkinBros16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. I'm going to say that one more time because you're getting 16 free meals here. Nobody can offer you that. Not in podcasts and certainly not in life. How they're doing it, I'm not sure, but good on them. I love the food. It's the best in the biz. And right now you can get 16 free meals by going to HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros16 and use the code DrinkinBros16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Gigantic fan of these guys. There's a reason why HelloFresh's tagline is America's number one meal kit. It's because they are. If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2023, why are you still paying insane amounts of money every month for your phone bill? Switching to Mint Mobile is the easiest way to save this year as the first company to sell premium wireless service online only. Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save you a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. I saw the commercials with Ryan Reynolds and I was like, I'll give it a go. My service sucks here anyways with AT&T, so I switched. It's been pretty easy over there. For people looking for extra savings this year, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month by going online only and eliminating the traditional cost of retail. Mint Mobile passes significant savings to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily in minutes with eSIM. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless service plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. That is mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. And then you take our country, which isn't any better. Right. We just had that Durham report come out, which is probably the most damning information that you could hear as a society. And as far as trying to influence or fix an election,
right,
all going back all the way to 2016 and involve a former president and everything else, nothing is done about that either. So it seems like these things happen. We have the answers that we thought they were, and then everybody just goes back to normal life the next day, and that's kind of it.
My favorite is when you had Matt Taibbi and is it Michael Schellenberg?
Yeah. Schellenberger.
Testify.
Schellenberg.
And then they had the individuals just sit there and bluntly say, what makes you think that you have the right to talk about what's going on? Or you're not even a real journalist. It blew my mind that you, the people that are running your country, have the audacity to sit there and say things like that to journalists, to real, genuine journalists. It's troublesome because I guess I always had that mindset that, like, I live on the U.S. border. If something goes sideways, I can swim. Like, we're close. I can hop the fence. Not even a big stress. But now I'm getting hyper concerned about you guys.
I'm not terribly concerned about the United States.
What?
Well, he thinks it's going to collapse anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say collapse, what do you think comes next? Because that's a huge statement.
Mm-hmm. So typically when you see societal collapse, well, it depends on what you mean by collapse. It'll be the housing market followed by our currency, I believe. And
your currency's already.
It's getting real close.
Yeah.
But the state solution for that is going to be to try to usher in some kind of digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just too many people here that aren't going to play ball with that. My expectations of what they'll try to do is they'll try to use digital currency to prop up mortgages throughout the country, right? So they're going to try to leverage your home against you, essentially. And that'll work in a lot of the country, but in some places it's not going to work. And this is one of those places. People are going to fight and die here, I think.
Why doesn't the United States kind of do a separation where there's a two sets of America where people who want those things, you can have that? Because realistically, when America started, the idea of one president running all of the states made a little more sense. The amount of people that are in America now.
Mm-hmm.
How can you ever come to?
Even the way you're talking about
over
it
and over again
is wrong, and it's why we can't get anything done. No, I just mean that the way that people think about it.
Oh, okay.
There's no president that runs the country. He's a fucking employee.
And I mean, you have one head. Though I'm saying, like, you can't. Not everyone's going to agree. So why not have more than one?
Well, that's what we have, a system of government called federalism, right? Which is where if two-thirds of the country doesn't agree on something, which is to say you now have the ability to create a constitutional amendment, that right is supposed to be transferred back down to the state level.
Okay, and so that's
we just don't do that, right? So it's not that our system of government is not good. It's that we don't apply the system of government appropriately. And so here's a good example. So bump stocks on ARs, right? Pistol braces on ARs. The ATF just decided, like an administrative agency inside of the federal government, inside of the executive branch, decided to make a law.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to make a law. They don't have the authority to make a law.
Oh, okay.
But they decided to do it. And what it's going to do is essentially in about 7 days is turn 30 million Americans into felons, right? Essentially, right?
Whoa.
If the debt ceiling,
No debt ceiling. No, this is pistol braces on short barrel rifles.
Yes, correct, yes.
Now, since you brought the debt ceiling up, I think we should absolutely,
because that's in 7 days as well. So yeah.
We should absolutely default on that, because the American people don't owe anybody shit. that, like, that's not what we didn't. I didn't fucking send Ukraine a bunch of money.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, fuck these people. If our currency's got to fail because of that, I've got 400 pounds of meat at my house. I'll be fine for a while.
Yeah, and the debt ceiling to me has always been like cap salary in the NBA. It doesn't really exist. Yeah, people go out of work for, are they?
Well, I mean,
allegedly don't get their paychecks for three or four days.
Yeah, but if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, what will happen is Biden will unilaterally print a $1 trillion bill and apply that towards the debt. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to devalue all of our currency even more. And I think we should make them do that. I think it devalues the currency more, and it's going to precipitate the oncoming storm that's necessary. Sometimes you need a little fucking chaos, right?
What did you hear about what New York is doing with meat?
No.
So
probably shoving it up their ass because they're all fucking
It's too expensive to do that.
It is expensive.
Apparently, they were talking about every time you go and you buy meat, tracking the individual's meat consumption in order to hit the emissions by 2060 or 2030, whatever they're going for, like the lower emissions. They're saying so they want to lower by like 33% from what it's currently at. And so they want to start tracking your meat consumption. So you can only buy
a certain amount of meat.
X amount of meat.
Well, we're close to that now, but what they're calling it is shipping, or what is it? The shipping shortages or supply chain issues. So if you go to our grocery store here and you want to get wings, you know, for the big game on Sunday, you get two packs and that's it. If you buy a third, they'll fucking take it from you and take it back. And they're like, no, there's a shortage on that.
It's like COVID with toilet paper.
It's all bullshit. It is. Like, all of it's fucking bullshit.
Well, see, these are things people will put up with a lot of stuff, obviously. But when you start getting involved in how people put food on the table for their families, that's when people will go to the mattresses and bring the guns out. And I think that's appropriate to do that. If some bureaucratic body somewhere is going to tell me how much and of what I can eat, I will kill that person. You know what I mean?
This is going well. This is taking a turn.
I mean, you don't have the right.
He's your friend in real life. Are you shocked?
He's your friend in real life. I see you guys hanging out all the time.
But I'm not shocked.
I'm just
the ultimate property. The ultimate right that a human being has is right to property. The ultimate iteration of that is your right to your own body. Right, your mind, what you think, and what you put into your body. That is the very basic fundamental right of being a human being. And if somebody is going to use violence or the threat of violence, and if you don't believe that's what it is, you're going to rack up fines, and eventually somebody with a fucking little gay badge on their fucking chest is going to show up at your house with a gun and some handcuffs to try to take you to prison, right? That's the threat of violence. And if you're going to try to pull that shit on me, I will execute you right there in the fucking spot. That's just how it is, right? And I think that's appropriate. I don't think that's some kind of anarchist viewpoint or fucking some kind of extremist violent viewpoint. I have the right to fucking eat what the fuck I want, bitch. And if you literally think it's in your best interest to come try to tell me what to do in that regard, then you're gonna have to deal with the fucking consequences of it. And I'm not the only one like that. I promise you that.
We had a meat guy come on the show yesterday. He was rad, by the way. And I bought a shit ton of meat from him afterwards. That could be the next cocaine dealer right there. You know what I'm saying?
I don't
doubt it. Slanging meat, dude, out of the back of a trunk.
I went to my husband and I went to Costco like 2 weeks ago, and we buy these big tenderloins, and then we cut them up and freeze them. We bought them like a year ago when we were doing like a meat run, and it was $160. Now it's $220, $240.
Yeah,
it's just they're gonna keep making it so that nobody wants to spend. They don't have the money to spend on it unless you can go to a hunter, you can go to a local butcher, somebody you can get meat from like that. So, oh yeah, that's gonna be a new coke dealer for sure.
Every single thing in like our lives, like my wife is back there, financially, it's just coming down to food now at this point. When I look at the bills and I go through the monthly statements, even doing taxes, because we delay them here. We've got like 6 or 7 entities, so it's all of them have to feed into one. But just looking at it, I'm like, man, I want somebody to blame for this, and it's just the grocery store.
No, it's just
the fucking grocery store. Just living every single day. Is it my fault that I had 3 kids? Probably. On the reverse of that, if somebody with 3 kids can't, I mean, shit, dude, you're spending this much money on food?
To have 2.1 kids just for the population to be maintained.
Right. So I feel like I did my job and then some for the population.
You took some for me because I only have one. We're done.
Oh, so, you guys are done after one?
Oh, yeah. He's snipped. Like, we're done.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's like know your limit, play within it kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
I do cocaine, like, so I don't believe any of that shit.
Yeah, you're all good. You're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, cocaine, it will be the new. It'll still be the cocaine.
Right.
In the future.
Still be the right, cocaine. Coke and meat. It's, yeah. Well, coke and meat is still coke and meat to Dan, so. Yeah.
But, I mean, think about that. Would you, how far would you go? What exactly would you do? Or I guess how big of a risk or how big of a threat do you think it is that some institutional body somewhere is going to dictate what and how you can eat, how you can maintain your fucking life?
Right. Right. Well, I, you know what's funny? You brought that up. So I think about the violence.
Like,
right?
To me, that is an act of fucking war.
Sure. And I think about violence. And let's take I took that Daniel Penny guy is a perfect case. The guy in the New York subway.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that's what needed to be done in the subway. Did he mean to kill that guy? Absolutely not. Now, the legal fees that are associated with that, him being in jail, now there's going to be a trial.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lose probably 3 years of his life.
At least.
And that's assuming that he's a jury of his peers in New York City, which isn't a goddamn thing at all. That's assuming they're going to say not guilty on
right.
this. And that's a big assumption. Because let's face it, they had Trump on these charges that they read off the list of nothing because they don't, in New York, you don't have to say what you're being charged for until the actual trial starts. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a fun one. We went through it on the show, but if you're not getting off there, and then he went back for the E. Jean Carroll thing that was also in New York, this story is now national. There's no fucking way they're going to let this guy walk.
No.
It's going to take whoever wins in 2024 to pardon this guy, if it is a Republican.
Or it's going to take another January 6th moment. Where
correct.
People that are fed up with this bullshit march in there and fucking dare somebody to shoot him.
Right.
Right.
Because it's setting a precedent if they do let him off.
That
you can walk around like, oh, no, but this guy was like threatening people. Unfortunately, he's going to be the person that takes the brunt of this.
But let's say you are in the right.
Yes,
and in my opinion, he was in the right with that type of action or violence, however you want to describe it. That's what happens to you. And you're watching it getting played out, and you're going through Kyle Rittenhouse, the same thing, going through that bullshit for 3 years and everything else. That is everything you own. That is every cent that your family has, and it's going to lawyers. Then you might not even get off at the end of it, and then you might spend the rest of your life in jail. And I think that's when you turn the beer on yourself, and you're like, all right, is any of this worth it? Is it for my kids to grow up without a father or a mother or whatever it is? And I think that's the answer in which most Americans or Canadians just say, no, it's not worth it. It's not worth it today.
But what you're saying by that is that I'm okay with my kids living under an oppressive regime. Like, it's either I risk what I have right now or I risk my entire lineage's future. That's the decision you're making.
Or do you teach them to get jobs or get positions in life of importance that they can actually change laws, bills, legal? Like, is that what you do?
If you believed in this system, do you believe that there are enough people we could elect to change what's going on in America right now? Because I don't believe that. Because I don't think these people are the ones making decisions. I think it's very wealthy people, right? Not just in the United States, but globally. Who are giving them money and telling them what to do, and they're fucking doing it, right?
Even these slapdicks in, like, I don't know, let's say South Dakota.
270 state and local DAs and judges were funded by Soros.
Oh.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
You know the answer to this question.
Yeah.
I think it's the saddest part is that it gets to the point where you just realize that's the reality. And you don't want to think that.
No, you don't want to think it. And then you look at the other side of what the alternative is, and I'm looking at this poor kid who's sitting in jail. Yeah. Beautiful man, by the way. I was unaware that he looked like
there will be a movie.
A porn star. Oh, yeah.
There will
Jesus
be a movie.
Jesus Christ. Timothy Chalamet might
play him. Oh, he would be great.
Blonde him up like
mustache.
Well, yeah, when he walked out of court, I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, that's a sexy Marine right there.
He's going to write a book. It's going to be a movie. He'll get it back on the back end. He's going to go through some trauma.
He's going to lose his 20s.
He's going to lose his 20s. Yeah, but your life doesn't start to your 30s. Listen, he's going to lose his 20s. Here's the real problem that's going to come from this. It's going to follow his kids. It's going to follow his wife. It's going to follow his mom and his dad and his aunts and his uncles. And they're going to take the brunt of it from everyday Americans who saw somebody killing somebody. When really what that was, because let's be honest with ourselves, he could have pulled a knife. He could have pulled a gun. Like, if he was a Marine, he could have been somebody that carried something and could have escalated the situation. But he really just did technically de-escalate the situation. It just ended horribly.
Or did it?
I mean,
like, I got arrested 44 times in the last eight years. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. But
yeah,
I,
he just took out the garbage. That guy was a
there
piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't have any problem saying
that
on this show.
By the way, his uncle, the one that was on TV talking about we're going to sue everybody.
Yep.
He's got arrested for pickpocketing.
Fantastic.
No way. Come on. I'm shocked.
Runs in the family, wow. I guess. Just being a fucking total piece of shit.
Yeah. He needed to be dead.
I try to have empathy for others, but it's still...
I don't have empathy for people that
hit
old ladies.
No,
shit.
No, I'm not.
Like, if there are some things that I'm glad we've progressed on as a society. I don't think we should be cutting people's hands off or stealing shit. But if you use violence against other people, particularly people who can't defend themselves, you should be executed summarily. Fuck you.
Yeah, isn't that what Florida just did with the death penalty? If you touch a child, like if you harm a child.
There's so much shit going on in Florida. It's hard to dissect right now and be real with you. I know they're passing shit left and right down
there.
They really are. I mean, they're jamming at home down there. So you could be correct in that. But even back to the George Floyd thing too. What didn't he point the fucking gun at the pregnant woman's belly and all that? Other, and you're just like, bro,
another piece of shit. Like lifelong criminal. Just fucking die, man.
I mean, this is where
I support Canada.
He did stick up a pregnant woman. He didn't put the gun to the stomach. That was
either way, all good on that one.
Yeah, solid there.
Yeah. Take it, Val. Just pointing a gun at a pregnant woman, good. Just wipe them off.
Far enough.
Trebuchet into the ocean.
I wish it was something fun like that, though. Like, remember how it used to be? Like, with Gladiator, you were like, this person's going to die.
Malibu's going to come out, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, boom. He's checking people.
Yes.
And it's a blonde guy. Who's that guy that's in all the memes right now? Is he the actual guy from the show American Gladiator?
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
He looks great still. Let's let him be the guy.
Yeah.
And then, boom, he can fucking wreck these people.
But how many people would stop the bullshit if they started seeing people publicly... either trebucheted into the ocean, fed to sharks, little bits. Like I'm just saying, a little torture never hurts anyone.
Town hangings were awesome. Like, it was very effective.
Very effective.
You saw a body in the town square for 10 days, decomposing and flies start to get there.
Think twice.
Yeah. I don't need that anklet.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a reason since, the dawn of humanity. We've executed people and then cut their heads off and put them on spikes out in front of our camps.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like you can play by the rules or you can die. Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like what the priest did to like all the indigenous children in Canada.
Sure. Yeah. They killed them.
Yeah. They killed them.
Just murdered people because.
Yeah. Then that's kind
and
of.
Everyone stay quiet.
That's always kind of been the rule. And it's been primarily either the state or the church that's dictated what is and isn't right. Right. Mostly because the state. And church colluded to keep people illiterate until the middle part of the 16th century and keep the Bible in Latin so nobody could read it. This is in Western civilization anyways. And as people became smarter, they started to rebel a little bit. You may have heard of a guy named Martin Luther. He's one of them, right?
The white one or the black one?
The white one.
There we go. Okay. Just checking.
But
for the audience.
Know, we have the opportunity now with technology to, instead of aligning ourselves by geolocation or type, I guess if you're going to call it that, ethnicity, nationality, religion, or any of that stuff, you can decide to align yourself with people that share the same values and principles that you have. And you can fucking circle the wagons and fight anybody that comes and tries to stop you. And that's what America was supposed to be, mm-hmm. right? We fucked it up big time.
Makes me sad.
I know. Let's get to something happy here. Let's talk about your new book, Brass and Unity here. What's the actual release date? Because I know pre-sales are out now.
Yep.
What's the actual release date for
July 11th.
July 11th. Okay.
Yeah.
And it says, One Woman's Journey Through the Hell of Afghanistan and Back.
I didn't pick that part.
You didn't pick that title.
No.
I always ask because I want to know. That was
Brass
the publisher.
The Brass and Unity was mine. I wanted to leave it as that, but like, they need a title. They need a little. And I was like,
sure do.
It's the least cheesy one we got.
They sure do.
Yeah.
What's the process of this?
Writing-wise,
yeah, for you in particular. It's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people write with ghostwriters. Some people do it all themselves and then use the editor from the publisher. What was the actual writing process for you, and how does somebody who's as busy as you even write a book like this and find the time?
So it's been a 5-year process. I got an opportunity. Somebody heard about my story. It was Neil McDonough from Band of Brothers heard about it.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. He's on the front cover.
Blonde.
Yeah, they're the ones that optioned for the TV series.
Neil McDonough did?
Yeah, it's the cover.
Bob, Papa, I understand that, but
it's right there.
Yeah, here's the thing. Neil's a daywalker, man.
Hang on.
The best.
Everybody right now is saying, all right, I've heard the name.
Yes.
But as soon as you see this face, pop up his face, it's one of those guys where you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You've been the villain in every goddamn thing going back to the OC, you know?
He's honest to God one of the nicest humans I've ever met.
Pop up his picture,
the
though.
Best platoon leader in Band of Brothers.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's a great fucking actor.
He's the best, and he's a great family man, and he's an incredible
dad. How did
you
fucking meet Neil McDonough?
Showed up at a charity event with his wife, his amazing wife, Ruve, and their five kids.
There he is right there.
And yeah, he was in everything from Band of Brothers, Yellowstone,
oh,
Captain America.
Oh, you name it, yes.
He's in it.
He's usually the bad guy in it, the OC, bunch of stuff.
Yeah. But he's like the nicest guy in real life, which makes
but
no sense.
But you have to put his picture up, though.
I know.
If you put a little McDonough head on the front of the book, then I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah, that guy's dope, yeah.
That's what we said. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, so he came to a charity event, but somebody heard of my story and said, like, you should write a book. And I was like, well, I'm not a Navy SEAL, but I'll give it a go. So I started writing... just chronologically from basically the time I wanted the book, like my life to start. And then I just took it from there. And it took about 5 years and it bounced to a Canadian publisher. We pulled it from them. And then COVID happened. So that's why we pulled it. We're like, the release won't work during COVID. Everything was going haywire.
Smart.
Yeah.
Because you can't do interviews and all that shit.
Exactly.
I mean, you could have done it through Zoom, I guess. But
that doesn't work.
No, it's not great.
No. So then I started writing and their editors went through it. But I wrote the whole thing. I started with a 70,000 word kind of start, and I just like dumped myself onto a page, just did that for a while. And then it got to a point where another person found out about me and said, hey, I want to take a look at the book. It got to a different publisher. I got optioned by Post Hill and distributes through Simon and Schuster. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, show us what you have. So I showed them what I had and they're like, this is fantastic. I said, but I want to add three more chapters, because since I had stopped writing, I started doing psychedelics, and then the Afghan pullout happened and I got involved in that, and I wanted to add some other kind of things down the line. So they gave me the opportunity to write another three chapters with it, and I wrote those out, and they said, can you have it done at a certain time? So I crushed it out and then sent it to the editor. I only went back and forth twice with the editor, so it was really smooth, really easy process for me, to be honest. And then the next step for me was to make sure that, you know, I changed enough names to make sure that the Afghan family had their face blocked out right, that they were happy with everything, and make sure people were good with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we slapped it together, and that was last year. I signed the deal right before I went to Peru, and then it comes out a year later. So it's been a 5-year process to definitely get to this point. And for me, it's just been being accountable and consistent and saying, if I'm going to write a page today, I'm going to write a page today.
Yeah.
Whether it's shit or not, I'm going to take the initiative. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because usually somebody comes in and, you know, has a ghostwriter, they'll mm-hmm. interview you and then kind of put your life mm-hmm. Out there and everything else. The fact that you sat down and did it, because look, 5 years is, you get one shot at a life story. That's what I tell everybody who, you know, I've written a biography before for a buddy of ours. And I said, look, whatever you got,
yeah,
inside of you, every single story from a kid to now, mm-hmm. get out, because nobody has a part two.
Was that Matt's book?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
go, nobody
I
has a, no, but I, that was the biggest advice I gave him. I said, nobody gets a second biography.
Right.
You get one shot at it. Now, if your company explodes and everything else around it, then sure, you can write about your company later on.
Yeah, exactly.
But as far as your life and everything that goes on in it, you want to tell all the cool stories and get that out, because mm-hmm. you don't know if you're ever going to have another one.
Right.
And you got one life right now. So. Mm-hmm. That's rad. How is your company doing, by the way? Because last time you were on the show, we talked about Brass and Unity. The products are amazing.
Thank you.
And it seems to have taken off.
I mean, that's the funniest part, is when you say that. We've been around for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually kind of took off in 17 when we started doing Ellen. Like, so Kevin Hart, I tell a story in there about Kevin Hart and how we met. And he actually was one of the reasons we changed the name from my initial name, because it wasn't supposed to be a business. He gave me a really good idea one day, and we changed and incorporated the name after that. And that's when it kind of kicked off. And by then we had been on Ellen. We were on Julian Huff and Michael Bublé and, you know, Jesse Tyler Ferguson were wearing our stuff. And to get a bunch of liberal people to wear bullet casings on their wrist was like, okay, maybe this is going to get somewhere. And everything was kind of trucking along. COVID happened and we were a retail business. So we had 200 retailers in North America that carried the product, and that shut down like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had to, and at that point we weren't really online at all. So we had to pivot really aggressively, get online functioning, and start building an email list. And so we're still in the process of doing that, and we're definitely growing, but it has been an interesting past couple of years, to say the least. And so we're at that point now where we're getting back to where we were. The podcast has helped a lot with the advertisement and talking about Wrestling Union and people knowing the name. That's why everything is named the same. Mm-hmm. It's because ultimately we donate from the whole umbrella and everything falls under the company.
Well, it's also just smart branding.
Well, I think so. I mean, I try to do some things right. Not everything, but we do some things right. And so it's doing well, but really the thing that's popped and the thing that I'm hyper-focused on is the buddy check pack that we do. It is just the paracord rope bracelets with a little 38 casing on them, and they come in a pack of two. And the whole thing is, it prompts you to call somebody and have a hard conversation that you didn't really know how to start, or just because you haven't spoke to them in a while. It's instead of going to have alcohol and sit down and have beer, which I have no issue with, but I'm, you know, I with my TBI don't drink very much anymore. I'm just trying to do that. Sure. So it's another way to start a conversation about, hey, what's going on with you? Or like, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while, and like, I hear that you might not be doing that great. So what we do is they come in a pack of two. The whole thing is buy a pack, call a buddy, save a life. And so we've sold in 2 years 17,000 of these.
Holy shit.
So something is telling me that people are good with this. This is working. So I'm, you know, Brass and Unity is hyper focused on that and working with that. We have a partnership with Boot Campaign for You Matter with those bracelets.
We love those guys.
Yeah.
We were wearing the You Matter shirts to help that campaign, actually.
Yeah, so we do it every September. Yeah. You didn't wear the bracelet.
He wore the shirt, though.
I don't wear bracelets.
I don't care what you
say. He doesn't wear jewelry.
I don't care. That's no excuse. I know plenty of people who don't wear jewelry that wear it. Anyway, so
you're not going to talk him.
I know. I'm going to do everything I can.
There's no amount of pressure you can apply to me to make me do something I don't want to do.
I know.
We did wear the shirts, though.
We did wear the shirts.
Yeah, we wore the shirts on the show.
Well, yeah.
We wear
one right now.
I wear shirts.
I'm not Randy from Trailer Park Boys
or Bert Kreischer. So yeah, no, we've been doing that, and that's been a hyper focus. And then we just actually launched a partnership with Support Our Troops in Canada, that Yellow Ribbon, and we're their first official outside partnership for the Buddy Check bracelet as well with them. So it's making a difference. We're talking to Invictus as well coming up. And so we're trying to show not only the military, but civilians. It's like, you can find a way to check on yourself. This is like the Live Strong of the mind, minus the doping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we dope too.
We dope too.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I have no issue with that.
No, but it's wild, because that's how Drinking Bros was started. I don't know if you know that, but yeah, Drinking Bros was never drink alone.
And it
doesn't, you don't have to get fucked up. You don't have to drink, you know, booze with anybody. It's just kind of check up on a friend.
Exactly.
And Jared Taylor was the one that created it, and then created the huge online community and everything else. And it's essentially the same message with your bracelets, where, hey, dude, just call somebody that you haven't chatted with in a while, check up on them, see how they're doing and everything else. And yeah, that initial conversation is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
You know?
So why not give your buddy a bracelet and be more uncomfortable? Hey, I heard about this stupid little bracelet, you put it on. It's just an ownership thing. It's an accountability thing. And I find that if you can give somebody a reason to be accountable, most of the time they will. They just need a little nudge. It seems to be working. We're quite happy with how the response is going. And I'm optimistic that it's going to keep going. And that's really the hyper focus of the company right now, is getting that message out. Because let's be honest, it's chronic. The suicide rate is ridiculous. I don't have to explain that to you. Unfortunately, we had another JTF2 member this week alone. And so these phone calls are coming, and I'm, to be harshly honest, I'm exhausted with it. I'm exhausted with the phone calls. I'm exhausted with having to tell other people. I'm exhausted with having to be the one they come to say, hey, like, I need you to call X, Y, and Z because I can't do this. And that's fine. I am that person to a lot, and I'm good with that. But we don't have to do it this way. There are better options. This is not necessary. Like, it just doesn't have to be like this. If we just be okay with being uncomfortable for 2.5 seconds and be like, hey, how are you doing? I know I wouldn't normally ask you about your mental health, but like, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's okay to have that conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think it's awesome, man. You're always a great guest every time you come here. Now's the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Oh, that's such a hard one.
You've been on the show before.
I know.
This shouldn't be shocking at this point.
It's not that it's shocking. It's just that to get to where I've gotten to now.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people.
It's a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the Brass and Unity community, because I actually have a group on our Patreon that you can join. And it is a mental health group on Signal. And when I say mental health, it's a loosely mental health, where we offer you challenges. So I'm going to give it to the Brass and Unity Army, because these people have shown up for me and made me want to not only be better, but show up every day, because I say that I will and I do exactly what I say I will. So I'm going to give it to them.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks,
cheers,
man.
The book is Brass in Unity. It is available for pre-order right now.
Yes.
Amazon's the easiest, yep, probably, for everybody in the world. Hardback, by the way. I know I've said this on the show in the past, and I'll say it again. If you buy a hardback, that is the fastest way to get on the New York Times bestseller list. So order a hardback and support her. And I think you would probably be the first female GWATs to ever make the New York Times bestseller list.
I think so. And I know Tulsi's got a book coming out, so I'm
she
like,
does.
I gotta have my.
You gotta beat, but you'll beat her.
I don't. Well, I gotta
When's
get
her
it.
Book coming out.
She just finished writing it.
Oh, she did. Oh, yeah. You got her then.
Maybe. Well, we gotta.
Well,
get
you gotta get there.
Gotta get there.
You gotta get there. Call the publisher and see what the sales are. Get in. Just call and say, hey, what numbers am I working with? They'll give them to you.
I know. Yeah, I have a call tomorrow coming.
Okay.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that way you can go on and be like, all right, great. I'm 1,000 away. I'm 2,000 away. Mm-hmm. And that'll
they
help.
They said a minimum of, like the minimum, depending on the week, you got to hit at least 3,000. But depending on the week, who's coming out with you, 6,000 is like normally the safe number.
It is the safe number.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's safe number.
Because the other part of this is it starts over the next week. So all your pre-sales go for the first week and then boom, those sales evaporate and then it goes to the next week. So to stay on there, you got to hit those numbers again. So your best shot is opening week.
Absolutely.
So pre-order the book.
Please.
Please. Kelsey, absolute pleasure.
Thanks, man.
You have a standing invite anytime you want to come on.
Thanks,
and,
dude.
We greatly appreciate you being on today.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.